This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Welcome today. We have in the studio here Matt Wagner from Dallas, Texas. And also Bill is this time again with us. He's skipping a few times, but we're very pleased to have both of you with us. So welcome, Matt.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
And Bill, whereabouts are you?
I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, in my home for this week. So it's good to be back and wonderful to join you again, Heya. And really looking forward to hearing Matt's testimony today.
Yes, because Matt, you are both a church planter, a leader, you lead churches, but you also have a business. And you have a vision for connecting both leaders from these different worlds. You live in these different worlds, and you know, we met actually a few weeks ago in Thessaloniki at a wonderful conference, Thessaloniki in Greece, and really enjoyed you. So I'm looking forward to this talk. And you tell a little bit about yourself, please. And we're looking forward to listening to you and, you know, what sparked this desire to see both these worlds come together. I mean, people know a little bit by now when they followed this podcast that it's very much on my heart too. But so I'm delighted to have you. Matt, tell us, who are you? We're curious a little bit. What is your background as a church leader? Why start a business also? So we're looking forward. Tell me.
Absolutely. And thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you in Thessaloniki as well. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversations that we had during that time frame as well. So I come from, my family was a military family, meaning we traveled around a lot. My dad was in the Air Force growing up. And some of the things that everywhere we went, I say that to say he instilled a lot of discipline at an early age. And so he kind of ruled with a little bit of a heavy hand. Timing was everything. Be on time if you're 15 minutes late, or 15 minutes early, you're 30 minutes late. So you need to be there, be prepared, and those type things. So he was always doing those things. And when I was 14, he said, "Matt, I don't care what you do, but you're going to do something. Get a job. Go out, find somebody, a neighbor to cut the grass, do something." And so I started working at the age of 14, pushing a lawnmower around the neighborhood to cut grass. And we used to say, "I've got to sneak up on somebody to sell them something." So it was starting to do something. I was heavily involved in baseball, and I ended up paying for college through baseball, signed a professional contract. And during the summer, I would work construction job sites because that was the easiest place to get a job.
So does that mean that you actually were first a business person and then later became a pastor? Is that me?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I remember when I was in college, this was crazy, but I worked for a pharmacist and I would have to start work at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I would load up nuclear medicines and have to drive it to different hospitals And we would, at 8 o'clock, so I worked from 2 in the morning till 8, got off at 8 o'clock in the morning to go to my classes. After my 3 classes in the morning, I had baseball. And then after baseball, I'd go home and I was so tired, I would just crash and go to bed and then wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do the same thing.
I was wondering, Matt, how you were starting up churches. We will hear more. You know, doing all this stuff. So you had your military early teenage training to get you ready for all the things you do.
This is true. This is true. That's exactly how it was. So,
yes. Yeah, so,
it's funny.
So, Matt, how did you get involved with church work?
So, I got called into ministry. I was signed a AAA contract to go play Major League Baseball. But something in my life was missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it.
What age were you around this time?
19, 20, somewhere in that ballpark. And so suddenly my spirit man became awakened. I was in church, and actually I showed up at a prayer meeting with my mom, and this little lady said, her name was Helen. She was about 83 years old, and said, "Can I just pray for you?" And I said, "Please." And so she stepped in and started praying. And, you know, the Lord just moved in and began to speak to my heart and challenge me. And it was a defining moment in my life that changed the trajectory of my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
I gave my life to Christ 2 weeks later, was called into ministry through an encounter on a Sunday night service. I went to my pastor and I said, "What do I do next?" And he said, "Well, you got to go to Bible college." And I'm like, "I just finished college." He's like, "You got to go back." And I'm like, "Okay, where do I go?" And so he said, "Go to Florida. And there's a school called Southeastern University. That's where I would recommend." So I loaded all of my stuff up in suitcases, threw it in the back of my truck, and I drove off to Florida. And that first journey to get there, the Lord used to do some significant things in me. Because going back to college, I did not make enough money in minor league baseball to actually pay for college. So I was needing to pull out some student loans, and I didn't have enough credit built up as a 19, 20 year old. I didn't have enough credit built up to qualify for loans. And I just knew the Lord said, "Go," and I was going, and my parents were trying to put my sister through college. And so there wasn't enough money to try to do both. And so my mom was like, "Matt, we can't pay for you to go back to school." I said, "I understand. The Lord will provide. It's okay." And I'm standing in line registering for classes at Southeastern. Now, I did not know if I'd be there a day, a week, a month, a year. I just didn't know. And I had applied for all these loans, but had not received anything yet at that time. And I'm standing in line registering for classes. And the lady says, and I never will forget it, but she says, "How are you going to pay for classes?" And I said, "Well, Jesus is going to take care of it." And she said, "Son, I really appreciate your faith, but we're a business. We really need to see the money as well." So I said, "Well, can I make a phone call?" She slid her phone over. I called the bank one last time, and the bank said, "We're so sorry, Matt. Nothing has come through yet." But then she says, "Oh, wait. Yes, congratulations. You've been approved. It just came across my desk right here." And I said, "Well, great. Don't tell me. Tell this lady so she'll let me into class." So I hand the phone to her, and in that very moment, in very real time, the Lord met a need and opened up the door for me to go to college and get, you know, get a degree in pastoral ministries.
Okay. So. Bill, I think you can identify. You were in the military and the Navy, right? So did you also get some training there which was useful later in all what you do?
I think a lot of what the Navy taught us was really helpful in understanding the kingdom, because in the Navy, you have a very clear authoritarian structure, but also in the kingdom, there's a king, And it actually has a really significant authoritarian structure too. So the more we learn to obey the king in the kingdom, the better off we'll be as servants of the king. And so learning that obedience, and sometimes it translates as faith. You think you're supposed to go, you don't see how all the pieces fit, but you go anyway. That actually is a great opportunity to learn to lean into the Lord and see him come through. And every time he comes through, it gives you a history of testimonies. And the testimonies now will also play a really significant role as we operate businesses for him, because we'll come up against many kinds of deadlines and crisis, and we'll learn to lean into him to see the solution for those situations.
Well, I'm missing out here. I mean, I don't have parents who were into the military. I wasn't in the Navy. I was on ships, but tell us, Matt, what, you know, we're talking here about bringing these two worlds together. So here you were in Bible college. You know what, we talked in Thessaloniki, and I heard you set up several churches. Can you share how does it work in your life doing these two things together?
Right. So I left Bible college. I went and pastored for about 25 years when the Lord had called me into church planting. The vision was to really spiderweb a city, if you may, by creating a church that created churches that created churches. It was the 2 Timothy 2:2, invest in leaders who invest in leaders who invest in leaders. So I really saw it from a generational leadership being passed down generationally. And so that was really the heart that captivated it. As I stepped in to plant the first church, there was no salary for my wife and I. And so dollars were on the table, were very slim. I think the whole first year, this is going to blow you away, but the whole first year of church planning, my wife and I made a combined income of $700. So I would come home and consequently, when I was a kid, where did I work? I worked construction during the summer. So when I'm church planning here, I'm trying to get this thing going, and I meet a guy, and there's a lot of big hailstorms that come over in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. And so we started selling roofs and the insurance would pay for it, but we would start selling roofs and fixing the damage. My boss came to me one day. He said, Matt, you're going to make a lot of money, because I knew how to fix the fences. I knew how to do staining and painting, sheetrock repairs and painting houses. It was not just fix the roof. And so he says, you're going to make a lot of money. You need to incorporate and start your own business. And that's sent me. I went home, talked to my wife. She said, I think that's a great idea. So we started Solid Rock Roofing and Renovation at that time. And when we started Solid Rock Roofing Renovation, we stepped out and started remodeling and doing a lot of roofing. That first year, I roofed 165 houses in 3 months. It was just incredible how much work came in that first year. It was almost as if the hand of the Lord was upon me to work in business more than he was to plant a church. It was almost that way. Now, in that season, we ended up planting 9 churches. And so we would start one, raise up a leader, put them in place, and then go plant another one. And so we planted 9 churches in that season and started a business that was doing high-end remodel work and roofing. That shifted. We now own Solid Rock Custom Builds, where I actually build custom homes. We're getting into neighborhood development, building a little bit higher end spec homes, not starter homes, but spec homes, and then doing light-end commercial buildings as well, with a vision of transformation. Transforming cities one build at a time. And that was kind of how we were utilizing it.
Listening to you, Matt, it sounds you are the entrepreneur in every part of your body and, you know, expressing it all over, you know, through churches. I always say business people, especially entrepreneurs, they see opportunities and they can create them. And so how can we use that talent for his kingdom? Bill, I see you smiling and nodding. What do you think when you hear Matt talk?
Well, I'm trying to think for our audience and wondering what questions they have, and I think they'll be similar to the ones that I have. I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you staffed out your company, because I can assume that if you do that much work, you're depending on people. I don't know if you subcontract out or if you hire people, or what were those relationships like, and did they have any role in the church planting work that you were doing?
So, yes, and actually the guys that worked for me ended up being a part of our church as well. And so we have about 200 to 300 subcontractors that work for us on a consistent basis. They're a great team, and you know, not all of them are living for the Lord at this moment, but we're constantly, they know where we're at, and we're constantly in the efforts of telling our God story in a way to try to help bring them along. Just 6 months ago, I had the opportunity of leading my tile guy to the Lord and on a job site. He was going through some things. He approached me and said, "Man, he said, there's something that I need to talk to you about. I know you're also a pastor." He said, "But can I just chat with you?" And right there on the job site, we end up having a conversation and lead him to the Lord right there. And then baptized him, his wife, his kids, ended up leading the whole family to the Lord. So it was really, really cool experience seeing that come to fruition.
Well, I heard, you know, you shared with me during the time in Thessaloniki that you had a time that you wanted to quit. You said you tried several times to quit the business.
Yes, you know, in the church world, we had where us preachers would pull our resume out every Monday morning, and they call it the preaching blues. After you finished on Sunday, and you pull your resume out, you dust it off, but by Wednesday you're thinking, "I can do this again." And I think in the business world, I found the same thing. It was Monday blues, if you may. I would step out and look and think, "Lord, you've called me into ministry. I just want to go do that." And the Lord would not let me. My wife even said, why don't we just go back to the church and do the church realm when you know, as an entrepreneur, things get tough early on as you're trying to plow and really move this thing forward. And she kept begging me, why don't we do this? And I said, "Dawn, I can't." I said, "The Lord is not allowing me to." And the conviction to pastor is the same conviction to do business. What do I do with that? And so we stayed the course and just said, "Lower our heads and keep moving forward. And Jesus, you've got to go with us." And so, yes.
Matt, for our audience sake, what sort of time frame are you talking about from when you began to do the roof construction and rebuilds to where you are today?
Roughly 15 years. So in the past 15 years, is we've planted the 9 churches, and then also did we started the roofing and renovation to moving towards custom home building and so forth.
So indeed, to come back, I mean, you finished your theological education, you know, you got the loan, as you mentioned. You were standing there at the desk and saw God's provision at that moment. So how long were you a normal pastor?
About 20 years.
So when you compare it now, you know, being a normal, you know, focused on the church and the ministry, to now being in both worlds. I mean, besides working very hard, how do you keep your energy? How do you get to keep recharged? How does it look differently?
So I think, in all honesty, here's what I find. First of all, let's talk about rest, because rest is important. And I do sleep about 7 hours a night, and I had to learn management skills and delegation very, very early on, because I couldn't do everything that I wanted to, nor was I good at doing everything. I needed to do what I was good at and delegate effectively so that I could empower those that did it better than me to handle those things that needed to. You know, as an entrepreneur, I do very good starting, and I can drive the jobs to completion, but I need administrative people around me to help the management side of things. And so we have staffed all of that in the process. And so rest for us is, there's a conviction that if I don't have one day's worth of rest a week, then in essence, I'm sinning, because the scripture talks about a Sabbath and needing to have a Sabbath. I heard a story years ago where it was an old guy, and this was an illustration, but there was an old guy who used to cut wood, trees, and there was a young guy who was a lot stronger and bigger, and they had a competition, and the young guy said, "I can cut more wood than you can in a day." And old guy said, "Okay, well, let's do it." So the young guy started cutting, and he would just keep going. He never took a break. He never stopped and slowed down. He just kept going. The old guy, every hour, would take 10 minutes and sit down and then get back up and keep cutting. The young guy thought, "Oh, man, I've got it. I've got him beat." But at the end of the day, the old guy had actually cut more wood than the young guy. And the young guy said, "How did you do it when you took a 10-minute break every hour? How did you do it?" And he said, "Son, what you fail to realize is when I sat down, I didn't just stop and rest, but I actually rested while I was sharpening my saw blade." And so the point being, when you're resting, you're actually sharpening your saw blade so that you can continue to go further in what God's called you to do. So I think rest has really been crucial for us in the process.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Matt. I've been last year reading a lot of books in that whole area. I totally testify in my spirit with you, you know, the importance of the rest. But and I think you agree with me, Bill. I'm curious, and I think the audience is curious, you know, what do you sense a difference, or is that of now being in two worlds? And then also, how did this desire develop, or the vision develop, to bring these two worlds together?
So I saw a great disconnect in the pulpit when I was pastoring full time. And the disconnect was between where the vision that God had called me to the vision of where the average person in the pew was at. In other words, as a minister, as a pastor, oftentimes it's, "Hey, here's the vision of God. Now I need everybody to move in this direction." And one of the challenges is trying to rally the dollars that are needed in order to fund what it is that God's wanting you to do. From a business side, it seems as if most of the time the local ministers really don't care about your vision. They care about their vision. And so there's this great divide between, "Hey, I want to give and I want to do transformational things with the kingdom. I want to leverage my business to advance God's kingdom at every juncture. But how do I do that when there's this divide?" Would I ever go back to a full-time vocational ministry position? The answer is more than likely no, because I'm not sure that's the way of the future. I believe that the Lord is aligning some things in such a way where, let me say it this way, when I was in full-time ministry, my paycheck was dependent on that church. So there's an internal pressure to make sure that people are coming, that people are giving, so that you're able to continue to function the way that God's wanting you to. It hamstrings you from a financial side. So how much better would it be if you didn't have to rely financially on a church, but you had a business that was able to pay your needs, to meet your family's needs, and yet at the same time, you could authentically lead a church where God desires it to go? And so that dichotomy there, really, I stumbled into, and then realized there's this great disconnect between the marketplace minister and the local church. When you go back to Jewish tribes, one of the things that's interesting is you found that we always hear Judah went first as the tribe, right? Judah went first. And so we always see that taking place, but you have two other tribes that went with Judah first. The first one was Issachar, which the scripture tells us that he had the wisdom, the times and the seasons. But the third one was Zebulun, who was the local business guy. Zebulun was the brother that set up trade routes. He set up business dealings and so forth. And when I stumbled on that, the Lord spoke to me and he said, no king ever goes to war without counting the cost. Otherwise, what would happen is you would start to pursue going to war and you'd run out of gas. You wouldn't be able to make it to the very places that you needed to. And so really and truly, there needs to be, in the way that God has always designed it scripturally, is that there is this connection between the businessman and the churchman and the gifts of the Spirit all coming in together to form one direction of where it is that God's wanting to lead.
Amen, Matt. Only a little addition. Business lady.
Yes, yes.
Church lady.
Absolutely. And when I say man, please don't take offense to that. I'm thinking that in a general term, not.
I know you, but just for the audience who might not know you. Bill, when you hear Matt share like this, what are your thoughts?
When I came out of seminary, they gave us two metrics. One was church planting, and the other was church growth. But when I ended up with a company, I realized that there were many other opportunities that didn't really fit either one of those. Like we began to be led to hire beggars in off the street. And I found out from a church growth point of view that they were a negative influence. So if they went to the local churches, the church attendance would drop off because people didn't want to go to church with beggars. And so I realized that the kingdom provided a new framework to think in, that it was really the king of the kingdom who was leading us to hire these guys. And while they wouldn't necessarily help the normal measurement of church growth, there was something in it that God was doing, and he was changing their lives. Like one little guy, after about 6 months of working with us, a mature believer said, I just love being around him because he's so smart. I love being in Bible studies with him. And I couldn't believe it because when I met him 6 months earlier, he couldn't even speak a clear sentence. And so I timed him in a 15-minute conversation, and he quoted scriptures like 16 times. Not with the references, he just spoke scriptures. And so I began to realize that this little guy is actually becoming more of a Bible student than a lot of folks in the church, but he didn't do it in the context of a church. He did it in the context of just living his life out in the factory. But he obviously was surrounded by some really wonderful believers who led him to do that. The Lord showing up in the business realm became a pretty consistent theme, and it was really just a marvelous thing for us to observe.
You know, what I find is there's a rediscovering of what church actually means. We have actually limited church to the four walls of a building that everybody comes to, when the reality, go back to the original word, I think Ed Sovoso does a phenomenal job in his book of Ecclesia, where he redefines what the church actually is, and going back to the business, or sorry, going back to the original biblical term, Ecclesia was a vehicle. It was how the Roman Empire spread all across the world at that time. And where two or three Roman citizens were there, the Roman law was present. And, you know, scripture says where two or three are present, there I am. The king is in the midst of us. So you find all of these similarities that are there in Ecclesia. So we have had to rediscover what does it mean to be a part of a church. So this concept of, is it a place where I can worship the Lord? Connect with him? Is it a place I can connect with others? Is there a place where it teaches me biblical principles, and I can, and I understand I have a gift and talents of the Lord that I can utilize. But then four, who else do I bring along? So there was a guy I met years ago named Ralph Moore. Ralph was a pastor in the Foursquare. He was in California, and he was into hot rods, car mechanic guy, and these hot rods, really, really cool experience. But what Ralph did was he actually, there was a guy, he went down to the shop one day and he said, hey, I've, you know, and he looked around and I forget the guy's name, but he said, man, this is amazing. You've got all these guys that are here. Why don't you invite them to church? And the guy very honestly told Ralph, he said, Ralph, he said, man, I've tried. They're not going to come, but there's 20 of these men sitting around just kind of talking a little bit. And he said, they don't come to church. That's not their vibe. They don't want to come to church. And he said, well, why don't you start a church for them? And so he works with the mechanic who ends up starting a Bible study once a week in the mechanic shop. And 27 people in the first 4 months come to know Christ. And then he baptizes all of them right there in the mechanic shop. And so this Bible study goes forward for all of these years. And was that a church for those guys? Absolutely. Was it in the traditional sense and in the four walls of a local church gathering? No, it was not. It was in a mechanic shop. So I think part of what's happening is there's this rediscovery of what does it mean to really be a part of a church of the kingdom. In Pakistan, it might be an underground church. You know, they might meet in homes. In Africa, that might be under an oak tree somewhere. You know, here it might be in a mechanic shop, but it could very much still be in a local building of some sort as well.
We are already running over time a little bit because, this is just really interesting. You know, how do we view church? How do we, that's basically our theme of, hey, business can be such, you know, it can be a community to serve the greater community, a place where we can interact Christians, non-Christians. And how does that look like? How does it look like in a context like you in the States, like here in Europe, in closed countries and everywhere it looks different. But we like to talk a bit more with you. So in 2 weeks' time, you know, we have a more in-depth conversation on, you know, what are some of the opportunities? What are some of the hindrances? So we are not done. I kind of feel we just started this conversation. Don't you, Bill?
I do, Gaia. You're exactly right.
So thank you, Matt, for sharing your testimony, sharing, you know, how your journey evolved and developed. And we like to hear more in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you back.
All right. Thank you.
This was Gaia Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit benmoos.com and check out the course on kingdom mindsets for business, life and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.